A következő műsor megtekintése 18 éven aluliak számára nem ajánlott.
I started the band Gallows in about, I think it was end of 2004. And there was myself, Stu, Lee and Frank, we were the main, oh and Paul, really old guitar player, we were the main members of the band. And we basically started because there weren't many bands in our scene that were kind of real. There was a lot of bands trying to be like American bands and a lot of metal bands, and there weren't many punk rock bands or anything like that. So we just started Gallows, started playing shows, started building a name for being, you know, quite a crazy live band. And a few records later, on tour around the world, and we've changed singers. We now have Wade, who's from Canada. So it's you know, a big change. But yeah, like we're now here playing in Budapest, having a good time, and like, you know, it's the best the band's ever been. It's not really an English band, but like, I think as soon as a band starts touring the world, like, you start becoming an international band. I mean, your perspective changes. Like, you know, when we started Gallows, we were very much an English band because we were singing about our towns, like the area we knew. We didn't really know much about what was outside of England. And now, you know, we've been everywhere, like Japan, Australia, all over America, Europe. So, you know, the band's an international band now, so it's going to happen naturally. I think when Gallows first started, we were an extremely angry band, and I guess, like, you know, it sounds really cheesy and cliche, but as you mature, you start to control that anger. And so so now, like Wade was saying, it's like it's more about the music, it's more about the expression than the anger and hate. And, you know, Gallows has always been connected to hate and anger and, you know, being wild and disrespectful, but like now we just want to focus on playing music and having fun.
A few years ago, I got a call asking me if I wanted to join Gallows. And my previous band, Alexa on Fire, I toured with them. We spent a lot of time on the road together across the States, across Australia. And we'd always been close. I think we have similar ways of looking at music and the world. And so they didn't know what we were doing. And it was right around that time my old band had broken up, which they didn't know at the time. And they asked me to come and sing. And it was almost that easy. A week later, I was on a plane flying to England and showed up at rehearsal, and that was about it. I didn't know if I was trying out or if they'd made up their mind already, but we just kind of started writing music right away and just, yeah, kind of never looked back.
Did you move to England?
No, I still live in Toronto. It's easier in this day and age to be a band that is from all over the world, you know. We all have kind of a decent recording setups at our homes, and it's easy to share ideas, you know. Technology makes that really simple to do. So I'm from Toronto. Our bass player now lives in California. So we're, yeah, pretty much global. We don't rehearse. Gallows does not rehearse. I said, you know, it's easy. Certain things are easy because we live in four different countries, but practicing is not one of those easy things. So yeah, just don't come see us like the first day of our tour.
Yeah, we played three shows.
So we're good now. We've rehearsed, but Come see us the first day. It's usually the best. Everything's going wrong.
We haven't sound checked, so that's still something to look forward to. We're going to go and do a line check, just play the show. We played in Milan last night, and our tour manager's like, oh, we have to leave at 7 in the morning, and we've had no sleep the whole tour. We're in a van. So we're like, we're just going to skip sound check and you know, take our time getting there so we're not stressed out and tired.
I'm kind of hoping when the show finishes, everyone's going to follow me out onto the deck and get everybody to jump in the water with me.
Help me sing this, all right? Wow! Oh, fuck. Wow! That's more like it! Wow! 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 The song's called Outsider Art.
See you at the giant wave.
I think politics is important to us, but politics is important on a personal level. Lyrically, a lot of my stuff touches on various issues, but it's not something we're trying to push on people. I'm just trying to write something that's personal and have people relate to that. And the band doesn't really have an agenda. There's not something we're trying to, you know, I think if we can open people's eyes to certain things, you know, there are those political messages in the music if they want to look for it, but I think you got to make up your own mind. And I think that's what's interesting about music is the way everyone views it, you know, what certain people can take from a song and what other people don't choose to take. So it's in there if you want it, but you can leave it alone if you don't. Music is always the most important. If you can't sing along to it, no one's going to want to hear about your politics.
I think definitely for Gallows, it's music over politics. Like, you know, it's definitely worth having a message in your music, but like Wade said, if people aren't going to remember your tunes, they're not going to remember what you're trying to say.
Yeah, if you can't dance to it, it doesn't matter what you're going to say.
When we write, we get together, like, you know, for maybe a week or so, and just smash out a load of songs, and that just works for us. Like, we did our last album that way. We recorded 13 tracks, and we spent like a week just writing it, and it's our best record. Like, it's had amazing reviews. Everyone we know who likes Gallows and listened to a new record said it's our best one. So
I think while we're writing music, we're all individually doing it all the time, you know. So if I'm, you know, reading in the van today, I'm, you know, there's certain things I'm jotting down and certain things that come to you. And Lags is always playing guitar at home. And I think you build up all these ideas. And when you're touring all the time, you don't have the ability to, you know, to put it to practice, to spend the time to actually create the songs. So when we get together, like Lags said, you know, for that week, there's this huge wealth of ideas. And it's just a matter of focusing that. And, you know, that's the way we write.
Check, check. It's Gallows. First time in Budapest. And I have no fucking idea why we waited so long to come here. This has been fucking great, people. This one's called Mondo Chaos. Get those fists up in the air! Fighting first! Find your chaos! Find your hate! Find your gallows! Find your fear! And that noose doesn't throw you up! That pushes out, turn and turn! That blue canoe, that teenage spring! Was it black and it's burning like a sympathetic ring? Oh, blue, are we not set? I don't have it, but I have it. That old man's completely in the running. You want the cancer? Dad has a plan. Get him up.
Yeah, I think it's definitely music that's supposed to be played live. You know, there's no hardcore bands that just make records and never tour, really. You know, it's that doesn't make any sense. You make records so you can go on tour and play the music. But I think as an extension of that, what's very steeped in tradition of punk records and hardcore records and all of those offshoots is the attention to detail that's put into the lyrics and the artwork and the color of the vinyl and everything that that's all an extension of the live show and the way your band looks, the aesthetic of your band to the, you know, your band's symbol and your band's logo, and that's all part of, I think, a further expression of the live show. So I think as much as hardcore and punk is something that's very much supposed to be seen live, I think all of the, I think, understanding it and engaging yourself in the live performance is, you know, having that record and spending time with it, so you know that when the singer gives you the mic, you know, you're going to know every single word.
Yeah. I definitely think, you know, every band that goes out and makes a record, they're trying to leave their mark on music and on the world, because, you know, everyone's going to die, but your music's going to carry on, and, you know, people are going to keep discovering it. So I think it's important that, you know, what you leave behind is something you're proud of, and, you know, that's why we take pride in our music.
I think that's a great answer.
Thanks.
I think it is a documentation, and I think it's also a statement, you know? Because everything that you're obsessed with music and art and culture, and it all finds its way in your music at some point, right? And so when you write those songs, it's very much a clear snapshot of everything you're thinking and everything that's been going on up until that point. And you finish those songs, and that's that cutoff, you know? So that's that look into everything that's been going on in those last few years. And then it starts again after you've made that record, and what you're into and your influences and how the world changes and how everything changes around you. And that's, you know, and that's the next record.
I think if, you know, if you do the artwork right, like for me, I like to buy an album, do you know what I mean? Like hold the 12-inch vinyl, open it up, like look at the sleeves, look at the pictures, the artwork, all that. I think, you know, bands from the punk and hardcore scene can still do that, and people will still buy those records. It's very much that type of scene, you know, like they collect vinyl religiously. Like myself and Wade have, like, you know, huge record collections. And, you know, you just gotta do it right, you know, like make it worthwhile, make it something people wanna own.
Fucking drops. I want to see all hell break
loose. So here I come with a bloody ass shot. So fucking dumb, so fucking dumb. So here I come with a bloody ass shot. You're the fucking up that bitch, man. Oh yeah.
I think in the connection between hardcore punk and Zerd, they're essentially the same thing, just a different way of looking at things. You know, it's just this constant evolution of music, you know, and if you really trace things back, you know what I mean, there's some old hymns that got taken by really early Delta blues musicians, and those got taken out of a church and they got played at these bootleg joints and brothels and speakeasies and bars, and that music was taken and brought into that, and then blues, you know, festered and got bigger, and that got stolen by like white counterculture and like all the Elvis Presleys and all those bands, and then it got turned up a little bit faster, and then, you know, bands like the Stones and all those bands took all that stuff and tried to play in their own way, and they, you know, changed it a little bit further, but it still continues in this linear line of, you know, revolutionary music, music that is a counterculture. And then those bands that wanted to be like the Beatles and wanted to be the Stones, like the Sonics and all those garage rock bands and the Monks that couldn't play that good, they started playing it with bad equipment, faster and heavier, and you kind of get those precursors of punk. And then all those kids that, you know, were started up and, you know, wanted to have bands that sounded like the MC5 that got all those Sonics records, you know, then you got the Stooges and the MC5, and every single kid that bought an MC5 record and a Stooges record started a punk band, and that's where the Pistols and the Clash and the Dead Boys and the Ramones and all those bands came from. And then, you know, when people bought all those records, they just started playing them faster and heavier, and that's where you get to hardcore, and it keeps going and diluting itself, moving in all these different directions until you've got, you know, everything that comes out of it. But I think it all, you know, stems back to really, really early Delta blues. And
that's the history of music.
That's it. That's right, the history of music.
Yeah. That was really good. I was like, I was trying not to laugh because I was like, wow, this is going really, really deep.
And it'll keep going, you know? People take our records and you know, manipulate them and turn it into something different, And yeah, it just keeps going and keeps going. There's always going to be angry kids in a basement somewhere that hate the world, that hate everything around them and only can express themselves through music. And as long as that keeps happening, everything will be good.
This is a nihilistic love song. It's called Cross the Lorraine. I got a lot of shit going on. No one can understand your fucking English accent. I can't even understand your accent. What can you read? No, I definitely can't read. Hit it, legs!
It was like a Kerrang! Magazine gave out these awards, and we do it every year, and we won Best British Newcomer. And I liked it because we got to hang out and have a free night out, basically. It was like free booze. Whether we won an award or didn't win it, it didn't really matter, do you know what I mean? Like, I went down to hang out, meet my friends. So, yeah, so it didn't really mean that much, to be honest.
I don't know. I think... as I said before, I think a lot of us kind of have a similar outlook on things, and I don't think any of us get too hung up on the future, and I think we do our best to take things day by day, and you kind of just need to do the best with your situation, and I don't think we're very nervous people. We're not very anxious people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can control your life, you know. It's not saying things are out of your hands, and if you don't want to, you know, there are things that are important, you know, but I think generally you just need to live your life and kind of let things happen. And if you get too bent out of shape about everything, you're just going to be a miserable prick.
I think Gallo's definitely living the now, if you know what I mean. So we don't tend to think about next week. We tend to focus on, are we going to play a show tonight? Let's think about that. Like, we're not thinking, are we going to have to try and not drink too much tonight because we've got a long drive or anything like that. We just always focus on the now and what's going to make us happy at that moment in time. I think now, like, everyone in Gallo's, like, we all share the same passion. And, you know, before the lineup changes, there's always been, like, a struggle with people having different visions for the band, and like for us, you know, we know where each other's coming from, and like we feed off each other's ideas, so it's more a collaborative thing now than rather individuals trying to put their own stamp on the band, if you know what I mean.
I know it's taken us too long to get here, but I can promise you one thing, Budapest, the first fucking chance we get, we're gonna come back and play in this city again. This has been fucking unbelievable. So let's send this one out in style. Last chance to sing, last chance to dance. If you want to get up on this fucking stage and grab this mic, let's fucking see it. Fuck your scene. This is our noise. Orchestra. Our wolves.
Thank you guys so fucking much. We'll see you next time. Eh?